Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, we are halfway through this year's salmon runs, and already there are some encouraging signs, but also some troubling realities coming into view. Pink salmon are seeing one of the best runs in years, and Skeena sockeye runs are looking strong again this year, tracking closely to 2022. However, steelhead are well below average and looking, at this point, to be the worst steelhead run on record. Although the latter part of the run is still to come, the reality is continuing pressures from all sides is making it harder for people to make a living from fishing, and it's becoming increasingly hard for many salmon species to thrive in the watershed. We'll dive into that in just a minute. Also coming up on CSEK News in the coming days, we'll get an update from Pam about the future of the Houston Canfor Mill. We'll also check in with the town of Smithers and residents about a BC housing proposal to turn the Capri Motor Inn into a supportive housing facility. Plus, we'll dive into the ongoing drought in the Balkly-Nechako region. Despite the recent rainfall in the region, it is still under a level 5 drought warning, with water restrictions in several communities in effect. Cattle ranchers also across the region are short on hay, with what is one of the worst hay harvests in recent years, many already resorting to selling off parts of their stock. This and more coming up on CSEK News this August. But first, back to our top story. Over the coming weeks, we'll bring you more fisheries and salmon news from a variety of voices throughout the watershed. Today, we'll check in with Guy Johnson, Secretary Treasurer for the United Fishermen's and Allied Workers Union, about commercial fishery delays and openings this year as local commercial harvesters continue to see their numbers dwindle. Stay with us.
Guy Johnson, I'm a commercial salmon troller based in Cowichan Bay. And I fish up on the north coast, Haida Gwaii and the area S.
Great, Guy. Thanks for being with us on CSEK News. You mentioned the kind of the areas in which you fish, but it seems like there's been some delays this past spring with you and some of the other fishermen, commercial fishermen. Maybe you can tell me about some of the issues you've been running up against, delays from DFO and others not being able to go out and fish and delays in the openings.
Yeah. As far as Canada-U.S. treaty is concerned, you know, we've got a recognized amount of spring salmon to harvest. And to be able to realistically harvest those fish, we need to start fishing, you know, sometime. You know, we were hoping by August 10th, and even that's very late. And just very suddenly after, you know, no consultation with us as commercial fishermen, that date of August 10th, which it was last year, has now been moved to the 16th. August 10th is already, we're at the tail end. The spring salmon are moving past the areas where we're allowed to fish. And realistically, the odds are we're not going to catch, you know, we're lucky to catch half the amount of fish that we're allocated under the Canada-U.S. treaty. As the amount of fish that we can catch that in a sustainable manner. Most of the fish we're catching are U.S. hatchery fish. They're not free. The amount of fish that they're talking about, so we have the right to catch about, I think it's 110,000 springs. The majority are American hatchery fish. By delaying us and reducing our catch to half that, to around 50,000, we're going to put about 75 to 100 more springs on the Fraser River. And so, you know, it's pretty devastating for fishermen. And especially when, you know, we went through a lot of science-based work over the past few years to get our opening. We were delayed as far as August 20th. And through a bunch of work, science-based work, we got that moved back to August 10th. And that's our expectation of both us as fishermen and the managers was that's when we'd be starting again. And then we just heard on Monday that, no, it's being delayed to the 16th. And like I said, the impact of that is we'll probably miss half our fish. They'll swamp by already.
Guy, I know, you know, you mentioned kind of the U.S.-Canadian question there. A lot of issues kind of wrapped up into that. Southeast Alaska, I know, that has a big fishery. And there have been calls to, you know, have that one of those U.S. fisheries move because it is in the way of Canadian sockeye or Canadian Chinook, rather, coming down to lower British Columbia. But you mentioned that most of the Chinook that you guys are catching are from U.S. hatcheries. So is that even an issue? Are they catching our Canadian Chinook? Is that a concern of yours and some of your colleagues?
I would say a much bigger issue is the amount of Canadian sockeye they're catching going to the net fleet in the Skeena and the Nass. It's, you know, it's very, very large numbers there. And, you know, the court case that happened down in the States that might have restricted the troll fishery up in Southeast Alaska, they weren't talking about any impact. We're already so restricted in Canada and have such a small fleet that is allowed to fish that there was no concerns. And then all of a sudden this buck came out of nowhere that they're going to delay our fishery. And it has further impacts than just, you know, meaning that we won't catch half of our springs. We catch pink salmon and coho salmon as well, but what makes it economically viable is catching the springs. And if there is, you know, this dramatically reduced spring salmon fishery, it means a lot of people will not be coming north to go fishing because economically, when you look at the price of fuel and all the other expenses, I'm sure there's going to be a number of people that are just going to say, no, that it doesn't add up, and they're going to stay home. And, you know, in terms of food security, in terms of for us trying to make a living, this is pretty devastating. And we're talking about all this devastation for coastal communities, both non-First Nation and First Nation communities where us trollers come from, to put 75 to 100 more springs up the Fraser River. You know, we don't think that's a very balanced approach. We don't think that it's very well thought out. We don't think it's scientifically based.
Yeah. Guy, just the last thing for you. Obviously, this isn't the first time that the local BC commercial fishing industry has been impacted by delays, closures. We've seen this just kind of expanding every year, year after year, these last few years, even, you know, a ton of money from the government to buy licenses back. You know, what's kind of the sense and the morale from a lot of the commercial fishermen that continue to go through these struggles and don't really see, you know, much light at the end of the tunnel?
It's pretty discouraging. It's very tough. Any young fishermen looking to get into salmon fishing or to continue if their parents, you know, perhaps were salmon trollers or gill netters or seiners, it makes it very, very difficult. And a number just, you know, to think about. There was in the North Pacific from Russia, Japan, Alaska, and BC, there was about 354 million salmon harvested last year. Canada used to catch, 10, 15% of that. We caught 2 million salmon last year in all of BC, and that's 0.06%. of the total caught out of the North Pacific. So it's all the same ecosystem. you know, the impacts of climate change are the same whether you're in Russia or whether you're Alaska or down in BC. Yet we go, you know, it's just, it's very hard to comprehend, and it's very discouraging for fishermen. And I don't think it's wise policy in terms of food security, in terms of economic security for coastal communities. I don't think it's a logical way to be going forward.
All right, Guy, we'll leave it there for now. Always enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much, and we'll stay in touch for sure. Good luck out there.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Appreciate the call. There you go.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.